God has given us tremendous power, and He's called us to use it to be transformers in the world. Not all of us are using it, but the call is that each one which would receive a gift from God would find a way to use it to build up the church community and to build up and transform the world around the church. I heard an old story the other day, and it's one that I heard many years ago. It was about a man from Illinois who decided to travel to Wisconsin to go duck hunting. Well, he shot and dropped a bird, but it fell into a farmer's field on the other side of the fence. And as the hunter climbed over the fence, the dairy farmer drove up on his tractor and asked what was going on. And the hunter said, "Well, I shot a duck, and I'm retrieving it." And the old farmer replied, "This is my property, and you're not coming over here." Well, this made the hunter mad, and he said, "If you don't let me come over the fence, then I'll call my Chicago lawyer, and I'll sue you." And the farmer smiled and said, "Apparently, you don't know how things work up around here." The farmer then said, "Here's how we settle disagreements with the Wisconsin three-kick rule. I'll kick you three times, and then you kick me three times, and so on, back and forth, until someone gives up." The Illini liked this challenge because he thought it could take the old farmer. And so the old man climbed down from the tractor and he planted his steel-toed boot into the man's shin. The man fell to his knees. The second kick came and it went directly to his stomach, knocking the wind out of him. And the farmer then landed his third kick to the side of the hunter's head. The disoriented man got up slowly and said, "Okay, you old codger, now it's my turn." To which the farmer replied, "No, I give up. Go ahead and get the bird." You know, we have our annual meeting after church today, and the truth is that many congregations dread the meeting because they often turn into battlegrounds like that one. Well, that's not the case for us. We have been blessed. And part of the reason for this is because we understand that all of us, as I said, as you look through the reports, all of us have been called to work together in this church. It isn't just a one-person job. We all have a job to do. And if we work together, we can accomplish some pretty wonderful things. Like, for example, I asked Paul Giorgetti to do something, and he did it. I asked for help with putting Enrique's office together, and not only did Rick Mann and his friend Billy lay down the new floor, buy a new carpet, pick up the desk, and paint the walls, but they were joined by Karen Boniger, who made the curtains to put up there. What a wonderful way of working together to make something happen. You see, when we work together, good things, great things are accomplished. When you look at the things we've done in the past couple of years, despite COVID, in outreach ministries and keeping up the building and our mission trips and caring for one another, you will see that many people have had a part in that. And that's the way it is supposed to be in a church. The congregation at Corinth that we read about was much different. It was a troubled church filled with division, arguments, and immorality. On top of that, there was confusion about marriage, food sacrificed to idols, worship, the Lord's Supper, spiritual gifts, and even questions about the resurrection. They just didn't get it. I'm sure they loved Jesus, but they weren't functioning as a church at all. In particular, some people went around in that church thinking that they were more important than others, and they claimed the spiritual gifts they had as evidence of their superiority. Probably it was the Corinthian church, even though he was writing to the Ephesian church, where he spoke about humility to be like Christ, because they didn't get it. Paul's letter serves as a warning to the Corinthians and to all of us in the church to be careful in how we view each other and the work that we're called to do together. Now, first off, prayer is the foundation on which to build a ministry. We talked about the fact that in this process of calling an associate pastor, prayer was at the center of that. It wasn't who's going to be the person that I choose or I like. We wanted God to be involved in that process, similar to what happened 12 plus years ago when you were searching and calling me. That's one of the gifts that Pastor Tom Hiltzley encouraged in us. And prayer is still at the bottom of what we do as a foundation, not as a last afterthought. You know, we can't do anything effective without the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that we preached about Pentecost a number of weeks ago, and last week was Pentecost, and we didn't even mention it, and so I apologize for that, but every week is Pentecost when you're dealing with the Holy Spirit and inviting the Spirit to come in and to lead and to guide and to show you the way as it empowers us to do the work of God. Without the Holy Spirit, our human efforts are fruitless. The Spirit guides, the Spirit equips, the Spirit empowers. And when we're in line with the Holy Spirit and what we're doing and using all of the gifts of the Spirit, then we are ready to unleash the power of God in the church and in our lives. This morning, I want to speak briefly about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't talk about them a lot, probably as much as we should. But in 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, Paul lays out an understanding of these gifts. By definition, a spiritual gift is a divine ability given by the Holy Spirit to every believer for the common good of the body of Christ. And it's different than a natural ability. You know, I played softball for many years, and I had to work really hard at it. I did not have a natural ability. I remember after my second dislocated shoulder and after my broken ankle and after my broken thumb, I said to Lori, because she said, "You got to quit this." And I said, "Why?" She said, you're accident prone. And I said, "What do you mean accident prone?" I worked hard to try to play softball and I did it okay. My brother-in-law, on the other hand, had a natural ability. All he had to do was look at the ball and it went for a home run. He had that kind of talent. He could run, he could field, and he could have probably been a major leaguer if he really had tried. He had that natural ability. But when we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, we're not talking about natural abilities. We're talking about something that is supernatural. And that, by the Bible, tells us that each of us have at least one spiritual gift. And you can find them listed in the Bible in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4. All of the gifts are laid out there. And now knowing what your gift is important. And maybe that's how we can help one another. We can say to someone, "You have a real gift for service. You have a real gift for speaking. You have a real gift of administration or helping." And then we can find that place to serve. If we're good at something, we should serve in that area. I think about Skip Terwilliger and Alan Cavill. Years ago, they let their servant's heart lead them into the kitchen, where they now have served up thousands, and I literally mean thousands of meals to bring people together to raise funds for ministry, for fostering fellowship and service. Whenever there's a need, they go and they serve. Or I think about Anita Green, who has a heart for the elderly in our congregation, a heart for others. And she's empowered our parish committee to visit the older members of our congregation and help them feel connected when they cannot get out to be with us. Whenever there's someone in need, Anita calls, encourages, urges people to step up. Or what about Scott Gale, who, along with Ellen Roadhouse, put together our tech team so that we can live stream the services and make them available in podcasts and YouTube videos. You know, I used to say I was ahead of the curve. When computers first came out, I was really on the ball, and now I say I'm behind. I fell behind the curve. But thankfully, we have people who know and understand technology. But what about Marie Birch? Do I have to say more? Marie, for many years, staffed our nursery. She taught Sunday school, oversaw our very successful VBS programs. What a blessing she is because she has that gift. Or Lynn Johnson. She stepped up when we needed someone to play for our junior choir back in the mid-1990s. never realized that that would not only lead her to a career and a vocation as our organist and choir director back in 1999, but also to a career as a teacher and educator in the local schools, where she has gifted and blessed so many young people for many, many years. I could go on. We've had ministries that were ready to be picked up, and the Holy Spirit tapped someone on the shoulder and said, "Let's go." And countless ministries over the years have been started or continued by people here at Central using their spiritual gifts and following the lead of that Holy Spirit. And that's why we can celebrate today in our worship and in our meeting. In Corinth, though, they had problems. They seemed to value some gifts more than others. But the Apostle Paul says this: there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God who works in them all, in all men. The key word is different. We all have different gifts. I say this often to Ray Deptulski. I'm amazed at the way his brain works. If there's a problem with my car, I just tell him, it makes a noise like this, rap, 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 rap. And he says, "Oh, that's the whatever it is." And I said, "Ray, how do you know that?" And he says, "I just know it. I have that gift." And he said, "I could never get up in front of people and talk like you do. When I'd get up there, I would go and bop, 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 bop." Different. We all have different gifts. There are different ways to serve. And when we serve according to our giftedness, then God energizes us. And everyone can see. Philippians 2:13 reminds us, "For it's God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purposes." When we are working in the mode of the Holy Spirit's giftedness, amazing things happen. God is at work in us, but he customizes his work through us to build up the work of the ministry. Here's a humorous way to illustrate this. Say we had a potluck supper here at church, and someone dropped a plate full of dessert on the floor. This is how people with different gifts might approach that situation. Someone with a gift of prophecy would say, "That's what happens when you're not careful." Someone with a gift of service would say, "Oh, here, help, let me help you clean it up." Someone with a gift of teaching would say, "The reason that it fell was because it was too heavy on one side." We know these people, right? Someone with a gift of exhortation would say, "Next time, maybe you should let someone else carry it." Someone with the gift of giving would say, "Here, you can have my dessert." Someone with a gift of mercy would say, "Don't feel too bad. It could have happened to anyone. I did that." And the gift of administration would say, "Jim, would you get the mop? Sure, please, help me pick this up. Mary, could you get him another dessert?" You see, all of us have gifts. Hopefully they're the better ones in that example. But the truth is that our church, just like all churches that are faithful to the gospel, have these spiritual gifts, what they need to function as a biblical community. Even with all of its problems, the Corinthian church didn't lack spiritual gifts, but they didn't use them. At Central, we've got 200 members and another 60 regular attendees, and we have more than enough gifts sprinkled among us to do the work of Christ. Our bulletin says that we're all ministers. That means we all have gifts. It says in 1 Peter 2:9, the apostle says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. I'm the pastor. We've just called Enrique to serve too. But there's no way that we can be actively involved in everything that happens here at church. The good news is that you all have permission to minister in this church. About 35 years ago, a church called Saddleback in Southern California had grown to approximately 500 people. And Rick Warren, the pastor, said, "Folks, I'm out of energy. And the church is getting so big that I can't do it anymore. As I read the Bible, it doesn't say that I'm supposed to do it anyway. I'll make you a deal. If you'll do the ministry God's gifted to do, I'll do my part, which is to make sure you're well fed." Warren then said they shook hands and made a pact together. And it was after that the church began exploding with growth. When people began using their spiritual gifts to do the work of the ministry, things took off because God put his power in that. Can we make the same deal? Enrique and I will serve faithfully in our areas of giftedness and responsibility if you'll serve in yours. I believe God has big plans for us, but the plans can only be realized if each of us steps up and uses what God has given us. You see, these spiritual gifts are given so that they can be used in service to one another and to the community around us. The gifts are given so that we step up and use them, the glory of God can be realized and the kingdom of God can be built through us. You're not here by accident today. We didn't read it, but in verses 12 to 30 of chapter 12, it describes how the church is like a human body, with each part playing a critical role in its functioning. You and I have been given a key role to play in this church, but we need each other. In verse 14, it says, "Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. The foot needs the hand, the ear needs the eye. Likewise, we all need each other." If we're not using the gifts that we have been given, the entire body is handicapped. You matter. Believe me, you're needed. And as we look ahead, God wants to use you and me. Don't think you don't matter. Nobody is a nobody in the body of Christ. No one can do everything, but everyone can do something. There's an X factor, though, and I'm going to close with this. If you want to unleash the power of God, you need to remember one thing, and Marcia mentioned that, and I didn't even pay her to do so. Love has to be at the heart of all we do. One of the lessons we learned from the church at Corinth is this: having spiritual gifts does not necessarily make you spiritual. You can have all the gifts that you need, and for every believer to know what their gift is and still miss the mark if it isn't used in love. In the last verse of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says to eagerly desire the greater gift, and that's love. Chapter 13 is all about love. It's not an accident that the love chapter is sandwiched between a discussion of the spiritual gifts in chapter 12 and 14. Paul recognizes the dangers of our spiritual gifts when they're divorced from love. Notice the gifts that are listed in verses 1 through 3 in chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, that's power, right? But have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I had the gift of prophecy, and if I could fathom all mysteries and had all knowledge, mighty gifts that we could only desire and dream of. And if I had faith to move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. Love should be the marinade that provides a distinctive flavor in our serving. Love is patient and kind, he says, and we want to be a church that builds up one another, that speaks truth and honesty to one another, but in love as we seek to follow the Lord. The early church grew in leaps and bounds because the people around them saw them engaging each other in love. They saw the Spirit at work, and they wanted to be a part of it. When the gospel message was preached, they embraced it. When you can't preach Jesus and be fighting against one another, you need to be rowing in the same direction. Several years ago, I was honored to be a part of a dragon boat race in the harbor in Norwich. I thought it was really cool. You know, there were about 12 of us, and we're in these fancy boats, and we were going to be racing, and I'm very competitive, and so I was all excited, and then we had a little bit of a lesson in how you had to row together, and I thought, boy, we got a great team. And we started off, and I think we came in next to last. Because as we were rowing, we were not rowing together. I was rowing like this, and someone else was rowing like this. And someone in the back kept saying, "We got to row together, we got to row together, we got to row together." And someone said, "Shut up." But a church can go nowhere if we are not together encouraging one another, using our gifts to row in the same direction. I want to pray for you this morning, just as we prayed for Enrique. I want to pray that God will reveal your giftedness to you and give you a divine calling to serve Him in and through the church, so that this church might truly bring glory and honor to God, and that we might make a difference, that we might be the lighthouse in this community, drawing people to Jesus. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this day, having heard your word, knowing and believing that you have gifted every single one of us so that we might serve you and serve your church and serve the world. Oh Lord, help us to identify our gift, to know where you have blessed us so that we can share that blessing with one another. Help us to begin rowing in the same direction. Lord, we've been rowing and we've been doing a good job. But Lord, we know there is more to do. And so Lord, bless each one. Help each one here today, young and old, male and female, to know that they have a place that will bring glory and honor to you as we serve in and through the church and our community. Oh Lord, open our hearts, open our eyes, so that we can see you and then serve you. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.